When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hey, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison. Why are you laughing?
I'll tell you in a minute. This is a podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, how are you?
Good. I just got an email. I used to blog for Vulture for a long time, so I'm on like a bunch of weird PR email lists. And
too.
I keep getting ones about, I guess there's some sort of new breastfeeding storage solution.
I just got that.
Oh, great. Is that just a Ruined one?
It must have gone to Ruined because...
No, it went to me personally as well.
Oh,
so,
well, it also went to me personally.
I was just thinking, well, my first thought was like, hey, maybe I should like start breastfeeding just in case anyone wants any because like I'm not using them.
I don't think
them.
You can do it that way.
I think you can actually. And then my next question I was going to ask you, Allison, if I did that, would you drink my breast milk? Okay, great. Thanks.
I'd try it.
I think you can induce lactation. Hang on. Let's find out.
Yeah, you can, but I don't think it's, like, fun.
I shouldn't just do it just because I don't have anything going on.
You have lots going on.
I guess that's right. You got me there. But yeah, I think you can. You're right. Because I remember one of my brothers is adopted. I remember my parents considered trying, but I do believe it is quite a predicament,
an
ordeal. Yeah.
Because like breastfeeding itself is also like unpleasant.
Shout out to anyone who is breastfeeding, or will in the future. Because
yes.
That is...
good for you.
You deserve a fucking medal. Anyways, Allison, how are you doing? What's new with you?
I'm good. I've developed a new thing. We're recording... This is like January... It's like the beginning of the new year. Do you have any resolutions? Did we talk about this on the last one?
You know, you talk about yours and I'll think of one. How about that?
I have two like very good ones, both that were like suggested by other people. And then I have like one new thing I'm doing. My two resolutions are to take more photos of people in my life.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, when I'm, like, out at a thing, it's like, get a few photos with a group of friends. Like,
because
you're going to want
those. Most
of
your photos are, like, you take it, like, through people's curtains, like, you're standing outside,
yes,
you're trying to get, like, while they're sleeping.
From a distance, yeah. Telegraphic lens,
you're standing on top of a building.
Getting murdered.
Yeah. No, I've seen those.
But
they're beautiful.
It's a lot of photos of Riz. It's a lot of photos of, like, stand-up and food. And I'm just like, oh, I got to have, like, more... Picture. I used to take pictures of my friends all the time. I want to do that more. So that feels like a very good resolution.
I love that. Are you going to print them? Like, is the goal like to fill your home with them?
I would like to print some, but I also just like, sometimes when I'm scrolling through and I'm like, oh, like I know I was with people, but like, where are they?
That's a good one.
And the other one that I saw, I think I saw it on TikTok or something, is to compliment people's work more when I like it. Like, I have friends
whose
podcasts.
That's a great one. Both these are like, it's funny how we just don't intuitively do that, and that's a great idea too.
I have George Severus and Sam Taggart have a podcast, Stradio Lab. I don't know if you've ever listened to it.
I have a couple times. I should
very
listen to
funny
it more.
And like I was like listening to it and laughing, and I was like, they're my friends. I should text them about it. And so I like sent a text. I was like, oh my god, I'm listening to this episode. It's so funny. Like great ep. Like, and I was like, that's so nice. So I want to do that more.
That's a great idea.
But the thing I'm doing that I started this week and I've done every day is I am dunking my face in a mixing bowl full of ice water every morning.
Do you feel like it's helping?
I honestly
you look great.
Am
Your
obsessed.
Skin looks great.
My skin. I mean, I do think my skin is better. It de-puffs your face first thing in the morning, and I have very puffy overnight.
Me too.
I like feel like my eyes are wider. Like it is just like it wakes me up more than any amount of coffee ever has.
I like it.
And it clears out my sinuses.
I feel like that's the kind of thing where Jennifer Aniston says she does it. And you're like, okay, but you've also had, like, you're rich. And I'm sure you have, like, an esthetician that comes to your house. And then it's like, that also, she probably does do that. It does actually help.
I seen it on TikTok a bunch. And then I saw, I'm watching Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, Roni Legacy. And, which sounds so stupid. And Kelly Ben-Simon was doing it on the show in the morning. And I was like, I could do that. And you like start small. Cause I started, I just did like 3 seconds at a time.
I mean, you gotta warm yourself up.
And your body isn't like, it does, like, it is shocking and like kind of hard to like breathe. You're like, oh my God, I'm going to drown.
what a way to go.
In this mixing bowl that I usually make salad in. But I'm up to 10 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do it every morning.
And you're a swimmer, so I feel like you could definitely get it up there, you know?
Yeah. I can hold my breath for a long time, but
you look
anyway.
Great. That's really ambitious, and I like that.
How's your start to the year going?
I think my only resolution this year is to kill God.
I'm sick.
And other than that, well, to finally get my driver's license, I took my driving test, and I did fail it. So,
oh, no.
Just the written
part
one,
or the driving
the
part?
Written part. Oh, God, if I fail it 3 times, I believe I have to go take driver's ed again, in which case I believe I have to take the driving test, in which case I will have to move somewhere because
you have to come back to New York.
Girl, I don't know how long it's been since you took a test, but let me just say that part of my brain is completely atrophied.
I don't even like getting an eye exam.
I mean, I choked so hard. This study guide, which is every law about driving in California, is 100 pages, and I do not have the kind of recall that I had in college. I'll say that much.
And it's like, I have a driver's license. I know how to drive. I used to drive, but I've also lived in New York for 17 years now, so it's not like I do it often.
I miss it.
I know the rules, but if you put a bunch of questions on a piece of paper about that information, I would get them wrong, even though I know the answers.
Well, the parts where I choked were, like, the percentage of alcohol that you can't have, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know any of this. And then, like, how many points you get for different things on your license, and, like, how many points to get your license taken away.
It's like, also, like, why should I have to know that?
That's for you to know.
That's for
and
you
me to
know.
Find out.
Yeah.
but my goal is, I follow someone on Twitter who wrote 3 screenplays last year, and I'm like, I want to write 3 screenplays.
Wow.
But that I need to figure out how to do that.
One a quarter.
I mean, I feel like it's doable.
One a trimester.
Every 4 months.
All right.
Yes. I would like to give birth to 3 screenplays this year, and I think I could do it.
You could do it. I believe in you.
Inducing self-lactation is up to, that's 2025's goal, I guess.
Yeah, you got to push that another year.
Can't do both. but that's all I have in terms of personal goal setting. And again, of course, journeying to heaven to kill God.
I can't wait for that.
Well, I mean, it's going to happen eventually.
Driver's license, death of God. It's a big year. 3 screenplays.
I'm joking, God. Please don't strike me down. I am too Catholic. I'm like, I know it's not real, but also please don't. I'm joking. Yeah. Please, if you're listening. And he's always listening, ladies and gentlemen, just like you're listening to this podcast.
Always.
Hey, everybody. It's Hallie.
And Allison.
And we're here to tell you about another exciting installment of Ruined. It is, of course, our January live show. And we are doing a very special film that you've perhaps seen advertised everywhere on the planet. It is the movie Night Swim.
I'm so excited. You know me. I love a pool. So this has been, as soon as I saw the trailer, I was like, we got to do this. And we are on Sunday, January 28th, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be doing it live.
We'll do it live.
You can get your tickets and view it at moment.co/ruined. And of course, $20 Patreon tier members. You will get your tickets to the live show in your email, probably the day of. $10 as always. And it's, we'll do the games. We'll do, the chat will be up and running. We'll have merch, maybe new merch. No promises.
We simply can't. We can only promise you a gorgeous January Night Swim.
Yes.
So join us then.
And if you can't make it Sunday night, it'll be up for 72 hours at that link. Again, that's moment.co/ruined. See you there. And it's still sequel month.
Sequels month, baby. And I don't know how we didn't do this. We've talked about this movie a million times. Do you remember?
We talked about it. I remember us talking. I mean, also, this is from, I think this was like the first movie we did.
Yes, because I was looking at
the original is like it's part of the first 3 that we dropped at once, and I remember, and then we kept when the trailer came out, we were like, we got to do it. But it, like, never fit into a theme.
I also think, like, there are other...
And then I think we forgot.
Yeah, there are other sequels to Candyman.
Yes.
But I wanted to do... So we are, of course, doing Candyman, the one from 2021.
Yes.
Which is a direct sequel to the original versus the other ones. And one of the other sequels, they go to New Orleans. Like, we will do them eventually, obviously.
Yeah.
But I really like
this
movie.
We're going to do everything.
We've made a deal with the devil, and by the devil, we mean you, and especially if you're a part of our Patreon, please go sign up, to watch and consume every horror movie and tell you about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like this was really an underrated release because I've watched it a couple times since, and I think people are kind of down on it, and I think rewatching it, I discover more and more things I like about it.
Yeah.
In a way that I feel like we've done some movies recently, perhaps over the same year of this past year, where we have they've sort of been IP reboots or revisitations, and this is a superior revisit. That's my opinion. Yeah. If we're going to be doing this, I think this is a caliber above perhaps some other ones,
some
aka The Exorcist Believer.
I mean,
but what is it at this point? I had up the Wikipedia and it said I typed in inducing self-lactation into Google. So,
That's great.
So this, of course, was the movie that was directed by Nia DaCosta, and it was co-written by Jordan Peele, Wynn Rosenfeld, and DaCosta herself. And it picks up where we left off quite a number of years later. And Elson, I wanted to ask before I have you watch or talk about the trailer. What do you remember from the original Candyman?
I actually remember it more than almost than most of the other movies.
It's a great one.
It really is, like, and I had seen, not only had I seen the trailer when we did it, but I also had seen, I don't know if we talked about this, like little chunks of it in passing at someone's house. Like, I hadn't sat down and watched the movie and I left the room after 3 minutes, but like I've seen, like, it sticks with you. That's a real, it is one of the greatest.
Yeah, it is. And of course, Tony Todd, one of the absolute greatest.
Does it end with the big fire and she's Candyman now?
So basically, yes, the implication is that, and we of course talk about like the concept of urban legends. So at the end of the original, Helen Lyle, who is the main character, dies in the bonfire having rescued the baby from Candyman's clutches. Yes. But then the irony of that is that she then becomes part of the legend. So she does live on.
Yes.
And we see her in her own sort of Candyman manifestation. She dies, but lives on in the same way that Candyman does, which is telling her story, which we've just watched. So this is also playing with those themes. The original was directed by Bernard Rose. And this is a movie that had been in production for a long time, obviously had a lot of different ideas about it. And then Jordan Peele said, let's do this, baby. And so, of course, we always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what are your thoughts about Nia DaCosta's Candyman 2021?
I mean, I'm very in already. Mm-hmm. You hear... It is still Tony Todd, right?
Well, we're going to get into it.
Okay.
This is sort of playing with what Candyman is, who it is. It's sort of a collective idea.
But his voice
idea.
Is in...
It's in the movie.
You hear that voice again, and I'll never forget it from the cameo you bought me.
It's heaven. He's
incredible.
A perfect voice.
I could listen to him read the phone book, and it would be fabulous. I did it, like, what really was, like, upsetting to see was all of the shadow puppets?
Yes, absolutely.
Didn't care for that.
And I did want to say...
Very spooky.
Because I don't remember during that press cycle, but of course the shadow puppets evoke, to me, the most famous modern artist who does shadow puppets that are specifically about racism in America. And that artist is, of course... And again, I had to restart my computer because my... computer wasn't working, so all my tabs closed like a goddamn idiot. Oh, yes. So Kara Walker is sort of who I if you are familiar with her work, you know exactly what I'm talking about. She creates these sort of shadow puppets about antebellum America and sort of playing with this very fantastical fairy tale kind of art to reveal the truly disgusting horrors of slavery. Not that you want to hear about it, but of course this movie is about horrors that echo through time and sort of become manifested and how we conceive of them, which is what the original was about as well, of course.
Yes.
So we're revisiting them. And I was just, I know we've talked about it on the podcast, but I was thinking about, did you go see when Kara Walker had, it was the Sugar Sphinx at the Domino Factory in Brooklyn? Did you go see that?
I didn't, but I saw pictures of it.
Yeah.
I guess. No, but I didn't actually go in person.
It was, I mean, probably the most, it's called A Subtlety, which I'm sure there's more meaning to that, but it is a very unsubtle piece of art. It's like,
yes.
Probably the most, I don't know, like best, I guess it doesn't mean anything, but like the most impactful, right. You walk in, you're yes. like, oh, I get what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to shout out her work, and I'm not exactly sure, because I don't remember any conversation during the press tour, like, it's like, oh, it's almost like you wanted them to be like, this is an homage to her, just as someone who I so strongly associate, and she's a Black woman, and it's about some of the same topics. So I don't know, and I'm looking now. I haven't, I guess she's made shadow puppets for other things. She a Santa Gold music video, but I don't think she made them for this movie, which I think is strange.
Very.
Let me just make sure. I don't want to tell everyone the wrong thing. Let's see. Yeah, I don't. I will obviously correct it in a future episode. If you know, if you're like, oh, actually, they did work for her, please let me know. I think perhaps they just took inspiration from her work, and it's terrifying. And when she does it, and it's horrifying in this film. So, are there any images from the trailer that leap out at you other than those, Allison?
I mean. In the elevator, the razor blade, like, it also gives me that Silence of the Lambs moment when the blood drips down from, was it Chilton? Just, like, also, like, razor blades are very scary.
Yes.
So, the whole thing was scary.
And obviously it's evoking the rumor that we lived with, which, at least, I don't know if kids are still getting told this, that you might get razor blades in your candy at Halloween.
Right. Yes.
Which I don't believe has ever actually happened.
No, I think that's like a urban legend meant to scare people.
And I think there's one thing where it's like there was poison candy, but then it turns out it was like actually the child's own parent or something horrible like that.
Or like the manufacturer by accident, not like anybody was intentionally trying to kill a bunch of people.
Okay. No, apparently it has happened. It happened in Eugene, Oregon in 2022. Someone did put a razor blade in somebody's Halloween candy.
Oh.
At that point, it's almost like the rumor of it sort of begets somebody doing it, if that makes sense. Like, that person's almost like, oh, I heard of this, so I'm going to do it. Which I suppose is also similar to what Candyman is about, which is horror begets other horrors. We always like to take a baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of becoming Candyman?
Oh, very.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very scary.
Do you think you'd be a decent Candyman?
Let's be realistic here. Kind of the self motivation to get that kind of work done. I can barely do the jobs that I have to do from my own home.
Listen, I mean,
so
he's a well dressed man. Ladies go crazy about a sharp dressed man. He has on a mission. I don't have either of those things.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't.
And then before we get started, would you like to guess the twist in Candyman 2021, Allison?
Guess the twist.
Would you say that there's a real twist here?
That's a really good question. No, I don't think there's a twist as such. Okay. No. But would you want to guess what happens at the end?
Yeah. I'm going to guess that I guess our lead who's like not investigating, but like challenging the Candyman mythology, ends up finding out like a piece of information we didn't have in the original, like something about Candyman's
history.
Reveal about Candyman. Like maybe he
was gay.
Yeah, I mean...
No, that kind of contradicts the whole story.
I guess that's true.
I guess you could be bi.
Yeah.
Candyman's bi.
Candyman's bi.
Well, let's begin ruining Candyman 2021. We open with, of course, the Sammy Davis Jr. version of the Candyman from Willy Wonka. and a sort of a haunting version of it.
Oh, great.
And we are in 1977. We are, of course, in Cabrini Green in Chicago. And I love a horror movie that's set in an actual city.
Yes.
Sometimes we go somewhere and it's clear we're just at a soundstage and we don't actually get the city, say, in New York.
Yes.
This is in Chicago and I really appreciate it. I want to see more horror movies really in different cities.
Yes.
We meet up with a little boy named Billy. Also, everyone in this movie is black, and if they're not, I will say that they are white. So just default everyone I say to black. Obviously, it's Candyman. You can see the trailer. But so we see this little boy. He's, of course, playing with little shadow puppets, and it's a shadow puppet of a man running from a police officer, and he's using a flashlight to play on the wall. His mom yells at him to go do the laundry, so he has to take the laundry to a separate building in Cabrini Green. So this is a different building than the original Candyman. These are like the proper Cabrini Green. They're two-story buildings that are essentially go an entire city block. So they're very small buildings. I think traditionally, like, I just wouldn't have assumed they'd be building that many two-story buildings. But we sort of see people are out and about. They're, like, you know, visiting their neighbors. And these three girls yell at him, like, oh, would you take my laundry? And he says, no. And one of them goes, I hope Sherman gets you. We see Billy sort of, you know, look aghast. And as we walk over to the laundry building, we see and hear whispers about somebody in the community who is wanted. And at one point, he walks past a police cruiser with two white cops, and they hold up a wanted poster, and it says, have you seen this man? And it's a man with his tongue hanging out. Billy doesn't even reply. Obviously, he's not going to talk to the cops, and he goes into the laundry room. Everyone around him, there's two women walking out of the laundry room talking about the man on the poster, and he hears them say, they're still looking for him. Just don't go out after dark.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, Billy is about to go in the laundry room, and just as he goes, he sees the door, which is has a glass window in it, obviously, and then sees behind him a gigantic hole in the wall. Just a gaping wound in the wall itself. Wound.
Yes.
He goes to the laundry room, throws everything in the washer, walks back out, and is confronted with something that is flicked out of the hole and hits the ground. He looks. It is a piece of candy.
I don't like that.
He turns to see a figure stepping out of the wall.
See, no, that's very Candyman, but, like, I don't care for it.
It's just, you got to read the room.
Yeah.
And you're like, I want to give this kid candy real bad.
I'm going to have to leave my hole in the wall.
I think it's like either you throw the candy out the hole or you walk out and hand it to him. You don't do both.
You don't do both. It's a hat on a hat.
A man who is from the wanted poster, Sherman, as we will find out, he's very much already giving Candyman. He has a really long, great coat. And he has a hook for a hand, but his hook is not like Candyman's hook. It's like a prosthetic hook that you would have probably had if you didn't have a hand at the time. And reaches out to give Billy candy. Billy screams in shock, having seen someone come out of the hall.
Understandably.
Come out of the wall. Unfortunately, the cops outside hear the screaming, run into the building. Title card, Candyman.
Aye.
We get this great sequence that's like the inverse of the original opening credits sequence. So if you, in the original Candyman, you get this really beautiful overhead sort of zooming shot of Chicago. And from here we get the same one, but it's shot upwards. So it's all these looming sky rises. Oh, it's so foggy. I fucking love Chicago. It's
Chicago's
such a beautiful city. The food's great. The people's great. And what? You got a couple of Candymen. Okay. Every city's got the Candyman. All right. Yeah,
everybody's got something, you know. Chicago has Candyman.
They also got deep dish. So,
yeah. Seems like an even trade.
Come on. We now find ourselves in 2019. And we are in Cabrini Green again. And we see most of the projects have been torn down. And instead, there are neighborhood is full of brand new high rises. Oh, yeah. And there's kind of only one block with the low two-story buildings that are at this point abandoned.
Yeah.
And I will just say this, my brother lived in that neighborhood and basically lived over Cabrini Green when he lived in Chicago for a little bit. And I remember when he lived there looking out and said they should do a Candyman reboot where it's set in Cabrini Green since part of it is still here.
Yeah.
And when you know it, you're ahead
of here we are.
We meet up with Troy and his white boyfriend, Grady. I believe we find out Troy is like a real estate agent. They are going to visit Troy's sister, Brianna, who is a gallery, like an art curator at a gallery, and her artist boyfriend, Anthony. Anthony is our main character. He's played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. And I believe he's from Watchmen, which people loved and I didn't see.
I liked it.
Yeah, he was Dr. Manhattan. He's great in this. I don't think I've seen him in anything else, but he's someone I'm like, oh, I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah.
Aquaman, Trial of Chicago 7. Okay, other stuff I haven't seen that I should probably go back and see. So they get up. They're now living in a beautiful loft, like with a full other, like essentially a big enough apartment that Anthony has a studio space in the apartment. So they're doing well for themselves. And the implication is that Brianna and Troy, their father was a successful artist. You know, she's very successful in her career, but also like maybe they were coming from money to begin with.
Sure.
And Anthony is sort of like the maybe brooding, incredibly handsome, successful artist boyfriend. But as we find out, Anthony has not made a new piece of art in 2 years. He has artist block, much like...
Sure.
I'm in a moment of writer's block, and it is killing me.
I am also in a moment of writer's block, and it's really not great.
I know. It's interesting.
I can't even put a sentence together that is more meaningful than just, like, six words.
I'm trying to do the artist's way, so I'm like, I gotta try something. And yeah. I've never successfully gotten through it, but I'm going to try again.
Yeah.
So Grady and Troy come, and they are looking at this, again, beautiful apartment, incredibly well-appointed, a lot of mirrors, so that's obviously going to be a problem with Candyman shows up as he's able to sort of show up wherever.
Yeah.
Troy, as Brianna's brother, is immediately criticizing everything about his sister's life. He's like, where did you get this wine? The dollar store? She's like, you overpaid for this apartment. I could have gotten you something much better, but in a really loving way.
Yeah.
And Grady's like, this is insane. Like, you have to nitpick your sister because clearly she's doing great, you know? And Troy says, no, you don't know about this neighborhood. This neighborhood is haunted. He's like, this neighborhood has so many nicknames. Little Hell, Smoky Hollow, Combat Alley. And Anthony and Brianna also know the neighborhood, Cabrini Green. And basically they explained, as we see in the original movie, that, as Brianna puts it, white people built the ghetto, realized they built a ghetto, and then erased it to build on top of it.
Yeah.
And gentrified everything. And Grady's like, oh, like your apartment. It's sort of like, oh, you're also a part of that because you're rich now, you know?
Right.
And Troy says, do you all want to hear a scary story?
This is a story about a woman named Helen Lyle. She was a grad student, a white grad student, doing her thesis on the urban legends of Cabrini Green.
And she, of course, they did it intentionally, they just didn't believe it was real. She summoned Candyman in the original film. And her story has been folded into the Candyman legend and tweaked, which we also kind of heard in the original movie, like, oh, all of these stories, like, become different over time.
Yes.
So Troy's version of Helen's story is she was doing research, she went down to Cabrini Green interviewing people, and one day she snaps. She beheads a Rottweiler, and the police find her doing snow angels in a pool of dog blood. Anthony, Brianna are like, that's
not in the first
obviously
one, is it?
Not real. So a Rottweiler is beheaded.
I remember that, but it wasn't like her because she went crazy.
No, it was Candyman.
Candyman.
And also, she didn't do snow angels in blood. But, like, the idea is, like, oh, something happened. And then in the telling of it, it's like, and that's not even the worst part. She was playing in the blood or whatever, like, embellishment.
Yeah, right.
But, of course, like Anthony Brown is like, that didn't happen. Like, that's made up. And Troy says, look it up. Because that's not
Where?
All. Google. She goes on a rampage, he says. And she takes one of the babies of the residents of Cabrini Green. Of course, we know, having seen the original, that Candyman took the baby, and then Helen did everything to try to find
save the baby.
And so in our knowledge of it, having seen the original, she saved the baby and sacrificed herself. In this telling of it, which is like now that she's part of the urban legend, Troy says, the night of the Cabrini Green bonfire, Helen arrives with the baby and runs towards the fire to sacrifice him in a fugue state. But the residents were able to wrestle the baby out of her hands, and Helen walked into the fire to die. Now, everyone's listening.
A compelling story.
Absolutely. And at the end of the year, Candyman, everyone sort of goes to Helen's funeral and, like, pays her respects. But it is a more compelling story if she was insane. And we don't have to even get into what is Candyman? How did he do all that? Oh, no, is that to be my baby? Right, so it's like, okay, it's resolved. She is dead. That she was the evil villain. We've moved on. And everyone's sort of listening, wrapped, and Troy goes, is that rosé I brought in the fridge? And he storms over to get it. And Troy says, they're wrapping up later. They have dinner. And as they're leaving, Troy says to Anthony, you had better start painting again because my sister can't support you forever. And so obviously there's some tension brewing over this.
Okay, yes. That's a real horror movie. Discussing family finances.
Yeesh. As they get to bed, Anthony is already Googling Helen Lyle and does find the report about the Rottweiler being beheaded. Because if you remember, people did assume it was her time. Yeah. So we know, now that Anthony is looking into it, we know maybe where this is headed. Anthony, you should have left well enough alone.
Yeah,
you know?
Just move on. Go paint.
In the morning, Brianna's co-gallerist, co-curator, Clive, comes over. Obviously, named after Clive Barker, whose short story, The Forbidden, is what Candyman is based on. He comes over to talk to Anthony. He has a big show coming up that Anthony is supposed to have art in. Mm-hmm. And he says, you are the only artist that has not shown me what's going to be in the show. I want to see it. And Anthony shows him something that he did 2 years ago. And he's like, look, I loved you 2 years ago. This is you 2 years ago. What are you this year?
Right.
And his art is sort of, they do say this because then you see his art develop over the movie. And so it's done in a different style by the end of it, which I thought, again, a very interesting artistic choice that I appreciated the attention was paid to it. So they're kind of more like, not cartoony, but like obviously drawn. Like it was like a black man's chest with a red noose. And sort of like, what's the evolution of something that like has been great? But like Clive says, what happened to the next great hope of the Chicago art scene? Which always helps you when you as an artist, when you can't do anything. Someone says, well, what happened to you?
Yeah, right. Like, that'll always snap you right out of whatever creative struggle you're having. You're like, oh, of course.
And Anthony said, obviously, Anthony's like, well, you know, I am working on some new stuff. What is it about? Oh, you know, it's actually about, you know, the white supremacy and gentrification on black communities, like where I'm from, Bronzeville. And Clive says, the South Side is a little played out. So we know Clive will be dying at the hands of Candyman.
Yeah. And then Candyman, come get your man.
And Anthony says, or it could be about Cabrini Green. And now Clive is interested. He's like, oh, no, that's a story we could talk about, you know? So not less interested in his actual art and more like, how am I going to promote you? Like, what is the story that I could get rich people to come and, like, buy the art, essentially?
Yes.
So Clive and Brianna head into work, and Brianna reminds Anthony, tonight we are getting dinner at your mom's, so you have to show up. But it's 7 p.m. Do not forget. Obviously, Anthony immediately starts researching Helen Lyle and Cabrini Green. And because they live right there, he walks over there. And I will say the clothing is already so dated. Like, for whatever reason, his outfits to me look so 2019.
What is he wearing?
It's like baseball shirts and skinny jeans and like hot, like that are too short with like high socks and like flat sneakers. I was like, no one's wearing that anymore. I'm not even a fashionable person.
2020 was a real like pivotal moment for just like everyday personal style. Things really changed.
And it is funny because it's like, you'd think as an artist, maybe to have more style, but I guess maybe the idea is like, he doesn't think about his style. He just like puts on whatever. And then, you know, his art goes on the canvas. He walks over to Cabrini Green and he, based on some photos that he find online, he sees that there's a church still standing and it used to be covered in graffiti and now it has been white, literally whitewashed. So the entire church is painted over in white. Allison, he goes to take a photo of the church, you know, reference for his art. And a bee stings him on the hand.
At night?
No, this is during the day.
Oh,
sorry.
During the day.
This is during the day. Bees are out at night. Terrifying.
Do they sleep?
Let me Google. Bees sleep? Sorry, it's telling me I can induce lactation.
Oh.
Yes, apparently honeybees sleep between 5 and 8 hours a day.
Oh my God, good for them.
But they sleep at night. So to your point, if it was night, that would be weird. But it would be weird.
During the day, all right, you could get a bee sting during the day.
And the bee drops and he looks and the bee is immediately swarmed by ants, which drag it away to be consumed. Anthony climbs over a fence into sort of an area he shouldn't be and is now in the low rows of apartment buildings.
Okay.
All abandoned. And so he's walking. He goes into an open door, taking photos of the graffiti, just trying to get some inspiration. And someone walks by outside, and he sort of flinches. And he sees a drawing of a man on the wall, perhaps some sort of, I don't know, candy man of some sort. And we see him walk outside just as a cop car goes by, and he kind of ducks behind. So, because obviously he's trespassing. He shouldn't be in there, even though no one's there. Right. And a man calls out to him and says, they never used to come around back in the day unless it was to take someone in. But now they're
the cops.
Yeah. So now cops are here all the time. And there's a very few people who do live in these buildings still, not in directly where we're at, but like in Cabrini Green.
In this general, yeah.
And so they're constantly monitoring us. So now there's all these high rises and all of the low income people are being monitored by police.
Yes, yes.
And the guy's carrying a bunch of packages and Anthony offers to help him. And the man introduces himself as William. And he says, I own a laundromat in the area. And Anthony walks with him and William sort of starts to tell him about the area. Again, Anthony's loving all this. He's like, okay, there's something here for my art. And he brings up Helen Lyle. And William says, you know, ask people about Girl X, Dontell Davis, and people don't know who she is, which we did talk about, I believe, in the original. It comes up, the idea that, like, there were these horrific murders.
Yes.
And then people forget about them. And he's saying, like, Helen Lyle was a white woman, so no one ever forgets that that happened.
Yeah.
And Girl X is a horrible murder of a young woman and sort of folding in these real-life murders into a reality and sort of tying it back into the larger premise of this, which is like, how do you, what is the point of urban legends? What are we trying to do with them? What is the idea of Candyman? Right. So William says, could you hand me a pen? And Anthony says, could you hand me a pen? I want to take notes on all this. And William hands him a laundromat pen. And he says, you know, Helen Lyle was out here looking for one thing, Candyman. And if you ask me, I think she found him. So we flash back to 1977, and we realize that William was Billy, the little boy in the laundry room.
The little boy who was doing laundry. Got it. I figured.
And he probably loved laundry so much that he opened a laundromat. So, or was so scarred that he had to open a laundromat.
He had to because his whole life became laundry and trauma.
Well, cleansing, you know, trying to restore him. And he says, you know, Candyman was a legend, but to me, Candyman was this guy, Sherman Fields. He had a hook for a hand. He was a real weirdo. He would hand out candy. One October, a little white girl got a razor blade in her candy, and the cops immediately assumed it was Sherman because of his candy reputation.
Yeah.
So he started to hide in the walls of the Cabrini Green to try to avoid the police. And now we're back in the laundromat. We see little Billy scream, and then he and Sherman just sort of stand and look at each other as we hear the cops run into the building. And we know what's going to happen, and Billy takes a piece of the candy. And Sherman's just smiling because, like, Sherman doesn't understand what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And Billy climbs the stairs as the cops swarm in past him. Like, I mean, a dozen cops.
Yeah.
And he sits there and we hear Sherman screaming. And he says, the cops killed him on the spot. And then a couple weeks later, more razor blades started showing up in candy. It wasn't Sherman.
It wasn't him.
Yeah. Back at home, Anthony is now creatively invigorated. He's like, this is incredibly, I would say with Helen, where it's just like, oh my God, like, I didn't know any of this. Yeah. Like, this is fascinating. He's looking up death photos of Sherman Fields. It's awful. And you know, obviously it's relevant. I mean, this is before George Floyd, I guess, but like it's always, you know, they're not.
Oh yeah. 2019.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate that she's not pulling punches about what this movie is about and how could you know? Right. So you see him, he's been beaten to death. It's awful. And Anthony starts by drawing a thick horizontal line across the canvas. Later, it's a night, Brianna gets home and says, okay, so you just didn't come to your mom's? Like, you totally forgot about dinner? Please call that woman. She's going to kill me. And then she says, not everyone has a parent they could go visit, and you should appreciate that you can do that still. Anthony, however, is already kind of on his own path, and he says, come look at my art. He's already becoming consumed, right?
Ugh, imagine, like, getting home and or, like, getting to your friend's house, like, come look at my art. It's like, can't we just, like, have a drink or something? Like, what are we—
Also, his art is of a black man who was an innocent black man who's been beaten
brutally,
to death by the cops. So Brianna's like, it's the end of a long day.
Kind of need a minute.
Yeah. But then he has her come in, and it is like a very, it's again, cartoonish in a way. Like it's not, you know, it's
clearly drawn. It's not like trying to be photorealistic or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not like a portrait or anything. And Brianna says, well, it's very literal. I'll be honest. Like it's, doesn't seem like something different than what you've been doing. It's also extremely sad. It's a really hard image. The story is interesting, but like this is a tough sell, I would say, for the gallery. Not that you have to worry about that, but like, I don't know. I she's very unnerved by it, right? And he's telling her about Candyman. He's all excited. And so what we're to understand basically is like, Helen and Sherman have been subsumed into the legend of Candyman, and the way they we describe it in the movie is sort of like many characters, one legend. So many, many bees, one hive. So all these different stories are the Candyman legend. And she's like, well, that's all very interesting, but I don't know. And Anthony says, I've never been so clear before.
Oh boy.
And there's one other part of the legend I want to tell you about, Brianna. If you look into a mirror and say his name five times, he'll appear and kill you. So I thought we could do that.
Did they not know that part?
I guess not.
Well.
Wait, in this movie, you mean?
Yeah.
I think he just Googled it and found out just now.
Wow. I feel like if you lived where Candyman is from and that legend was like known to you, like that was like the biggest thing about the legend is that if you said his name, you could summon him.
Yeah, but they're not from Cabrini Green. They're from the South Side. So I think the idea is that it's extremely localized, which I mean, I could be wrong, but I imagine you're Chicago, you go to school, like somebody would have mentioned it to you.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but I guess it's like Helen, like maybe it was just some, a legend that was particular to Cabrini Green that people wouldn't have necessarily told outside of it. But I agree, it's something that you'd think in Chicago would be more of a thing in that kind of city. And Brianna says, I'm not doing that. But of course, Anthony squats down behind her, and there's a big mirror in their living room, and he starts to say, Candyman. Mm-mm. Candyman. She says, fuck that. That's not funny.
There's not even a mirror here, and I'm like, don't do it.
I absolutely not. If he's behind me, please tell me. I'm going to be really upset. And Anthony's like laughing. He's like, I'm sorry. And then she notices bee sting, which is horrible. It looks like he's having an allergic reaction. She says, oh my God, does that hurt? He said, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Allison, it's the night of the big art show. Ooh. I think I love this movie just, I know, I don't, have we done Velvet Buzzsaw? I know we talked about it for a long time.
We haven't.
I love movies that make fun of the art world because I know so little about it. So I'm like, that is probably what it's like.
Yeah,
like, there's something satisfying about it.
The only thing I know about the art world is like going to Open Gallery Thursdays Chelsea when I was 23
having
and couldn't
no fucking
afford to
money
do anything.
And like,
so I was just like, free wine and cheese.
Yeah. That was fun.
It was fun.
So the name of the art exhibit is A Fickle Dissonance, which I thought was so funny. Like they're all
That's
named that.
Really funny. Yeah.
And we see a white teen girl, Haley, looking at a piece of video art. So a big screen, falling down from the ceiling that is being, has a video projected on it. And then she goes to the next piece of art. It is Anthony McCoy's Say My Name, 2019.
Okay.
It is a mirror, a triptych mirror. Like a bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
And of course, he invites the viewer to say Candyman five times.
Mm-mm. I can't think of an art show I would like to be at less.
And
both in being afraid of it and it being stupid.
Truly.
Like both.
Just then, Anthony sees famed art critic Finley Stevens examining the work. And he, of course, approaches her, a white woman, and is just like started trying to explain the art, right? And Finley is already so dismissive of the piece. And he says, no, there's more. Go ahead and open it. And she opens the middle mirror.
Like a medicine cabinet style?
Exactly. So evoking the bathroom
mirror. Something I think
about
all the time from that movie.
It's so good and so terrifying. And not since then, TikTok has proven that a lot of those bathroom mirrors are just stuck in the wall and connected to the next. So there would be a gaping hole should you push the mirror through.
Yeah.
So he opens it out and then opens the mirror. And on the other side is an entirely other room, which is filled with his art, which is sort of black light art. I will say again, it's like his past work. So the work is not itself, you know, it's an interesting concept. Yeah. Yes. And you could see on her, like, she's immediately rolling her eyes, like, oh, my God. And he says, the way I look at it is, how do you depict tragedy into a focused lineage that leads to now? And she's like, okay. And he's saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be standing over your shoulder explaining everything. It speaks for itself. And then she says, and this is what I do think art critics are like, because that's what they've depicted it as in movies. She says, it speaks all right. It speaks in didactic, knee-jerk cliches about the ambient violence of the gentrification cycle. But the truth is, your kind is the one that kicks off that cycle. And of course, Andy's like, a black person? And she says, artists. Artists move into a neighborhood and take advantage of dirt cheap rents, thus continuing the cycle. And then she walks off. And I'm like, you are an art critic.
Yeah.
Where do you get off? Like, if there weren't artists, you wouldn't have, your profession wouldn't exist.
Right. And, like, they don't make money until they have great art, so they have to live in cheaper places. I mean, not that, like, not to justify gentrification, but it's like,
no,
girl, you know how this works.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. There are, not that it's not an important conversation, but it's like, that is not the reason not to like that.
Yes, exactly.
So she storms away. Needless to say, Anthony starts to drink. So he's, like, been really hurt. So he's just, he's drinking beer after beer. And we see Troy and Grady have also come. And Grady says, ooh, should we do Candyman in the mirror? Troy says, absolutely not. Black people don't borrow trouble. I'm not going to be invoking a spirit here at the art exhibit. That's for white people to do.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Brianna, Clive, and intern Jerrica, they're talking about this other painter, Jameson, who's also a black man. And they're praising him, praising his work. And Jameson has just looked at Anthony's work. And he's like, oh, my God, I love that you hid the paintings. It's so smart. Where they all found materials? Like, they look like you found them in a thrift store in the desert. And Clive and Jerrica start laughing. And Anthony's like, no, I found them in my studio where I painted them. And because he's drunk, he says, you goofy-ass fuck. And everyone's so shocked, but I thought, like, that's the funniest way to insult, like, an obviously pompous rival of yours, you know? And he also lashes out at Clive and Jerrica, who snicker, and Clive says, you know you wouldn't be here if Brianna didn't make sure you're in the show, right?
Like, and Anthony says, go get a hobby?
Yeah, I mean, don't worry. Clive is dinner to the doornail in about 20 minutes here. But and Anthony says back to him, don't you have some morning after pills you have to pick up for your summer intern program? And then Brianna, like, ushers him through the front door, but he's drunk, so he basically falls out the front door, which is a very funny moment, and also what a funny exit line.
Yes.
And Jerrica turns to Clive, and it's just like, I'm on the NuvaRing. And Clive sort of was like, don't say that. Like, he's obviously fucking all of his interns. After the show, Clive and Jerrica are cleaning up the beer bottles, and Clive's like, Brianna strong-armed me into letting Anthony into the show. What kind of piece of art was that? It's just a fucking mirror. It is terrible art. If she can't control her man, then it's over for him. Meanwhile, the video's playing on the screen, and they're just kind of cleaning up. And Jerrica says, maybe we should do it. Maybe we should say Candyman into the art piece. And Clive says, no, not before we fuck. And then he says, actually, never mind.
In case we die.
Yeah, he says, never mind. Necrophilia has always been on my list. So again, we know that.
Okay, well, kill him now, honestly. Just get him out of here.
Jerrica says, so let's do this. And she sort of clips his belt to his belt loop, or his belt. I'm not exactly sure why. And, you know, that's their thing. And they start kissing in front of the mirror. And she begins, as they're starting to fuck, say, Candyman. Candyman. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Imagine if you were having sex with someone and they started saying Candyman.
Girl, it wouldn't surprise me at this point.
I mean,
The gals I date. Meanwhile, back in the studio, a very morose-looking Anthony looks up to see a bee bumbling around against his mirror. But when he reaches out to touch it, the bee is on the inside. And at that point, Allison, I have to ask, what would you do?
What would you do?
Who am I?
I would say, Anthony, if you saw a bee inside of a mirror, what would you do?
I I've let somebody know about the, this is bee number two, and I'm investigating candy. But like, I'm going to stop following the Candyman stuff immediately.
It would just be such a red flag.
Yeah, it's like, all right, whether this is real or not, things are getting weird. Like, I'm just going to throw in the towel. Go find something else to be inspired by. I know that's easier said than done as a creative, but like,
I know.
This ain't it.
Okay, so my question is, if you suddenly had, I don't know what you're working on, a TV show. Let's say you got your writer's block right now, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you wake up, you got it. It's happening.
Okay.
And then that same morning, you saw a bee on the inside of your mirror. Would you at least try to finish the pilot, or would you go tell someone right away?
I would go tell someone right away.
Yeah.
I think you gotta.
I feel like I could talk myself into not, but I know that I should go tell someone right away.
Yeah. I mean, it depends how long it's been since I've had a paycheck.
Yeah.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Great point. Back in the gallery, Jerrica says, Candyman says five times and then says, see, nothing. Allison, Candyman steps behind Clive, who's sort of standing with his arms around Jerrica, reaches around both of them and slits Jerrica's throat. So she drops,
oh my God,
to the ground, and Clive looks up to see Candyman standing in front of the video screen and then takes his hook and slashes it across the screen. But then he reverses, and we realize that Candyman is cutting the physically cutting the screen from inside the film.
Oh.
So he is in the image, and in the image of it, he is physically slicing it. It was a very cool effect. I love it.
Wait. Okay.
So it's the projection of him that is cutting. The screen is being torn in two by a projection of him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a visual medium. Use your imagination.
I'll figure it out.
Please do. Thank you. Clive runs to the front door, unfortunately cannot get it open in time, and we see him dragged by an invisible hand in the air back to the mirror, and when he's hoisted aloft, he looks like he's being held up by the invisible man, and in the mirror we see Candyman slitting his throat.
Yeah, good.
In his studio, Anthony is a man
using
consumed.
A hook?
Using his hook, baby. Okay. He's got that hook hand ready to go.
Ready to go.
Anthony is painting a huge portrait. And from here, we start to see like this real development in his ability. Like these very haunting layered, like layers and layers of paint of black men. Of course, the black men that we're going to see or who they are going to be the men of the Candyman legend. And then it's like these like portraits where like part of it will be a face and then part of it will be a skull. And it'll be like all these different multiple colors. It was, again, an excellent choice because you do have to see him progress in order to understand why would you think, like, what are you doing?
Why would you keep going down this path if you're just like making more of the same art that isn't really furthering your career?
Yeah. But you're like, okay, I guess I get it. Like after 2 years, you sort of like unclog and then you have this, however, Candyman.
There is a cost.
Oh, also, his hand, his bee sting looks like it's starting to cause all the skin on his hand to fall off. So you see it gradually. It looks like he's been burned. Like, it's horrible.
Oh.
But he can't even pay attention to it. Unfortunately, Brianna has to go to the gallery in the morning. And when she opens it, she finds the bodies of her coworker, Clive, and the intern, Jerrica, murdered in front of her partner's art piece. Anthony at home sees the news report about the murders, and it says that bodies were found in front of his art piece, and they said his name, and he goes, they said my name. They said my name, and they said the name of my art piece, which is say my name. And he turns, it was a great cut of like, he's so happy, and then Brianna and Troy are sitting there like, open mouth at his excitement, and he kind of like shuts down like, oh, but it's still bad. But it's just a very funny shot of them like, standing, like, what are you doing, dude? Brianna storms away into the kitchen because obviously like, she saw the body, so she's incredibly traumatized. We also see a little of her backstory to maybe explain why she's perhaps some of these things are not as much of a red flag to her, which is when she found the bodies, we see her flashback to the death of her father.
Okay.
Also a very successful artist. Unfortunately, we see the day he died, Allison. He's sitting in the window of his art studio, and little Brianna, who's like 8 or something, wanders in and says, what are you doing? And her father turns and says, I bet you didn't know your daddy could fly. And he pushes himself out of the window.
No.
It's so sad. I'm like, that's got to be one of the worst things you could ever see. That's, if not the worst thing.
Like, that's...
Like a parent killing himself in front of a child.
It's number two.
Oh, boy. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oy.
That night, understandably, Brianna's uneasy dreams and wakes to look in the mirror, and we see a man standing in the shadow in a fabulous coat, Allison.
Oh, it's like, that's great, but it's also not great.
It's not great. I mean, it's nice that he dressed up for the occasion being invading your dreams.
I do love that Candyman will, like, turn a look to
it's
get the job
so
done.
It's so good. It's just so much better. Like, every village should have a little bit of a look.
Yeah, something. Even Frankenstein has the sports coat.
Yeah. She turns. I was thinking it's like a starter jacket. Like remember when I wear like a Hornet starter jacket in the 90s? She turns the doorway. There's no one there. But she gasps awake. That was a dream. And Anthony is standing in his undies at the sink with the water running, just sort of standing there in a stupor.
Okay.
And she says, what's going on? Are you okay? And he says, I had a bad dream. And then he just slowly shuts the door in her face.
Not great.
Anthony, even though, again, all that stuff's happened, and, he saw the bee on the inside of the mirror, which we both agree would be enough of a red flag not to keep going down this path.
Absolutely.
He goes to the university library and requests the access to Helen Lyle's research files. I didn't mean for that
to rhyme. You have to go to the urban legends wing.
And he kind of turns on the charm, and you see the librarian's like, oh, hello, are you? I didn't even know this was here. Are you interested in urban legends? And then she turns around and was like, oh, so are you a grad student? And by the time she turns back, he's just taken it. And within the research files of Helen Lyle are her tapes, which we heard her make in the original Candyman.
Oh, right, yes.
Because if you remember, she initially found out about the Candyman legend from the two custodians at the university who told her, like, oh, everybody knows about Candyman. It's real. And then that's what sends her to Cabrini Cream. So we hear those recordings, and we hear Helen explaining, you know, the summoning of Candyman. It grew from a community's subconscious. You know, there's trauma that has built up, and it's sort of like this cathartic thing. And she and her and Bernadette, who we remember her friend from the movie, we performed the ritual. So now he knows, they also did it. Mm. And Anthony gets on the elevator, which immediately gets stuck, and he hits the alarm. And we see literally at this point, his hand up into his sleeve looks like it's been burned. Something is bad happening to the skin.
Also, like, let's get that checked out. You know, if we're not going to stop following the Candyman trail, yeah. which, like, I get it, you're creatively inspired, keep it going, even though it's terrifying and going to get worse. At least, like, manage the medical situation that you're experiencing.
I also think, like, Brianna, I think probably, like, she's both terrified that her partner is becoming her father. But I do think it's like, oh, if he's acting like this and also he's having some physical breakdown, you got to get him in to talk to somebody. You got to see some kind of doctor. Yeah.
Any kind of doctor at this point.
Allison, we hear something hit the ground. It's a piece of candy. And as we saw in the trailer, he picks it up and there's a razor blade in it and it cuts his finger. And as he watches the blood drip, a blood drop falls from the ceiling onto his hand. And when he looks up at the mirrored ceiling, we see the smiling face of a bloody, beaten Sherman Fields.
Oh, yes.
The lights go off and we hear a crunching, which is really interesting, like a very wet crunching sound.
See, I don't like that.
Oof. It just because it's also like I'm to this day having seen this a couple times, I'm not sure what the sound was, but I don't need to know. And I know it wasn't good. When the lights turn on, Anthony is huddled on the floor and the doors just open. It's a bunch of college students who are like, and he sort of just hurries out past them. In his studio, he's painting while listening to more of Helen's tapes. And she's talking to one of the custodians in one of the tapes. And then she's talking to Kitty, who is one of the women who told her about the this woman, Ruthie, who was killed in Cabrini Green. And the story, as Kitty tells it, is the one that leads them there, which is somebody came through the wall.
Yes.
And Ruthie was killed by a hook. Helen, of course, is like, it couldn't have been the wall. Then they find the bathroom mirror can be removed, creating a hole. So they're like, oh, my God. There's a factual basis for the urban legend. Obviously, that's the issue. And then finally, Candy even shows up, you know, midway of the movie. But we hear him. He's just sort of like going through all of her recordings, setting us up to the initial Candyman movie. Anthony gets a call. But Brianna says, wherever you're going, please don't we have that dinner tonight. Jack Hyde is in town. He's like some big New York art person. And she says he never comes to Chicago, so please don't fuck this up. He's like, I'm not going to fuck this up. Look at how good I'm doing. And she says, no, don't fuck this up for me. Don't be weird. Don't be weird.
Yeah, maybe just like let the art do the talking.
Yeah. However, the call that Anthony got was to the home of the art critic Finley Stevens, who is now writing a piece about Anthony's art and the murders. So I think it's sort of like, oh, everyone's really titillated by the murders. So now his art seems really relevant and interesting. And she says, all of a sudden, your work seems eternal. It's like, well, I just so you know, you have about 15 minutes to live. So enjoy it while you can. And Andy says, well, I'm actually doing a full series about the Candyman. I would like to do a whole show about it. And she says, that's an excellent idea. And Anthony says, you know, I'm surprised you like my piece now after what you said, but let's be real. You know who makes the ghetto, and it's not artists. Am I right? And, of course, Finley, you know, as a white woman and an absolute fucking snob, like, doesn't reply. Just like, oh, okay. And he says, you know, but if you're really interested, if you want to be part of the work, which I think you should, then you should say his name. I dare you. You just have to say his name into a mirror for 5 times. And Finley is a little uncomfortable. She says, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And then he says, that's as good of a time as any. In the bathroom, we see Finley.
I'm definitely not going to do it when I'm alone in a bathroom.
You want to do it with somebody else?
If I'm going down because Candyman shows up with his hook, we're all going.
Okay. An interesting idea. I would do it alone. Okay, well, let me know.
I would make you
I'm happy
be
to be
me.
In the room. Yeah, that's fine. I feel fine about that. I'm happy to be there. We see her sort of take a breath. Meanwhile, we see Brianna head over to dinner, obviously worried about her partner, whether or not he's A, coming, B, mentally well, or C, perhaps becoming the Candyman. And we see Anthony sitting in Finley's living room. He starts to peel up the skin on his hand.
No.
And he just started picking it so much so it totally lifts and you could see the blood start to well. And she's taking a long time in that bathroom and he's got that dinner. So he makes his way to the hallway like, oh, Finley, I don't know. But of course, Allison, these people, I need to get more mirrors because like everyone has a million mirrors in their, yeah. in their apartments. It does look
How many
cool.
mirrors do you have in your apartment?
Other than the bathroom mirror, I have one big one, like a that leans against
yeah,
the wall.
Yeah, I have one
like
big one and then my bathroom mirrors.
I want to get a big one for the wall, though. I like
I
that.
Love a big mirror.
She's saying forever. He looks in the mirror and looks away. And when he turns, he is Sherman Fields, complete with hook and bloody battered face looking back at him. And Anthony reaches out his hand, which he's wrapped a bandage around, and Sherman reaches out his hook and they touch against the glass. Like, like exactly like E.T. As more and more bees start thudding against the inside of the mirror. Suddenly, Finley opens the bathroom door and says, "Are you okay?" And then he says, "I gotta go." And he runs out.
Okay.
And as soon as he leaves, we see Finley walk into her living room. This is a great shot of the outside of the building. It sort of almost looks like a dollhouse. Like, oh, you see all these illuminated apartments. And there's no sound. Like, you don't hear anything from inside. And we see Finley walk in the living room. And as soon as she is, an invisible hand picks her up. And an invisible hook slashes her throat. And then the Candyman, who again we can't see, presses her head against the glass and drags her along, leaving a thick line of blood. The Candyman's canvas. Oh, Chicago.
He is an artist.
At dinner, Jack Hyde introduces Brianna to Daniel Harrington, director of the MCA, and he says, "But I get first dibs on her. Clive had to die for Brianna to be free, am I right?"
Jesus Christ.
Well, the man was brutally murdered, along with a college student. And a college student who unfortunately had to fuck him as her last act, which no one deserves. Allison, everyone at dinner, finally, Anthony arrives. Everyone gets a text. Finley Stevens was found dead. In her home. Of course, Brianna's like, "Oh, God, no.
Not good.
Oh, boy. Probably with my boyfriend." And she looks at him and he just like looks at the table. And they say, "Oh, she was found by her dead by her husband. Oh, my God. The husband's a suspect." Obviously, he would be.
Of course. You know. And in reality, would also be guilty.
100%. Yeah, I would say sans Candyman. But it would be unfortunate when you get home and you're like, "Boy, this doesn't look good for me, does
yeah,
it?"
Yeah, that's got to be tough.
Anthony, of course, plays it super cool, by which I mean he jumps up and screams, "I gotta go," and just sprints out of the restaurant while Brianna yells, "Anthony!" So he runs over the laundromat because he's freaking out. So he's like, "I need to talk to William, who is a source of information." And he runs over and you hear them in voiceover. He says, "What is he?" And William says,
"Candyman ain't a he. Candyman's the whole damn hive."
Because he said there's a lot of people who have died and been sort of passed into the legend. He's like, "Here's one. Samuel Evans, run down during the first white housing riots of the 1950s. William Bell, lynched in the 1920s. But the initial Candyman, which we know from the original, it was a death in the 1890s. It is a story that Helen Lyle found. William Robitel." And of course, we see at Anthony's studios, he has been painting portraits of all these different men. And we see the William Robitel. So he is Anthony Todd, you know, sort of this beautiful skeletal portrait of Tony Todd. And he explains, and then we see again in Shadow Puppets, William Robitel, an African-American painter, sort of the toast of white society, like, oh, he'll come and he's an incredible artist. And that's the purpose he serves, you know, to make white art for white people, which, again, we're drawing the analogy to Anthony. And unfortunately, he made the biggest mistake you can make at the time for a black man. He fell in love with a white woman, and they got pregnant. And, of course, her father hired men to kill him. They chased him down into the area that is now Cabrini Green. They cut off his hand and rammed a hook into the stump, covered him in honey, and let him get stung by bees. In the end, they set him on fire to kill him. And Anthony says, "So he's real." And William says, "All these men are real. You know, Candyman is the legend to deal with the fact that these things are real, that they happened, and that they are still happening." Which isn't really a satisfying answer for Anthony, but it's like, I mean, it's real in as much as all this horrible stuff is real. Yeah. And so Anthony comes home, and he finds Brianna in his studio, and now he's suddenly scared. He's like, "Oh, my God, I've brought this into our home."
Yeah.
And she sort of has pulled off some of the canvas. What do you call it? Like tarps and stuff. And he's like, what is going on? Like, these are so morbid. Like, is this all Candyman? And he says, I promise me you won't think I'm insane. I think I made a mistake and I conjured Candyman. And of course, Brianna immediately thinks of her father. And she's like, Candyman is not real. You can't believe this is real. And it's sort of like, she's entered a cycle without realizing it. He's entered something without realizing it. And Brianna says, look, I'll show you he's not real. And she turns and starts to say Candyman into the mirror.
Girl, no.
And luckily, Anthony shatters it. But of course, that terrifies her. Where it's like, you're breaking things now. And she runs out of the apartment, which I'm like, frankly, that's, if I was Anthony, I'd be like, just get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather you be spared.
Go stay with your family. And, go stay with a friend. I'll kind of try and wrap this
up. Lose my mind. Yeah. I'll try to wrap up I'll try to get Candyman to leave me alone. So she goes to Troy and Grady's apartment, and Troy is incredibly upset. And it's like, he thinks he's a Basquiat wannabe coming here and smashing mirrors, like tragic artist. And she's like, no, obviously he's going through something. I just can't stay there. And they say, don't worry. You can stay here as long as you want. And Troy says, actually, while you're here, mom wants to close out the storage unit. And there's a ton of dad's work in there. And Brianna says, I don't want any of that in my house. Yeah. I don't want it. And Troy says, well, I'm just going to call it out. You don't have to support another artist during his psychotic break. You don't have to, you don't have to do this. And he says, you could stay here as long as you need. We'll figure it out. We'll go get your stuff tomorrow. As long as you promise not to summon Candyman. And Brianna's like, oh my God, who would even do that? Even as a joke. Unfortunately, we cut to Haley, the white teenage girl that we saw at the art gallery at her high school.
Oh, yeah.
And she's got a couple of her friends with her. And they're all in the girls' room.
This is how I would do it.
And, absolutely. Yeah. They're all in the girls' room. And all these girls are white. And she says, have you guys heard of Candyman? And she explains sort of the legend. Like, if we say his name 5 times in the mirror. And one girl runs out. One girl's like, I'm not doing this.
That one
runs out. Yeah. And they all stand together and they say it 5 times. Unfortunately, Trina, obviously the school nerd who's constantly bullied, who's a black girl, comes in. And Haley's like, hi, Trina. You look really fucking hungover. And Trina goes to the stall and puts her headphones on. And all the girls, kick her door, mock her.
God.
So you know they're going to be killed by Candyman.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully so. Haley and her friends go to the bathroom door. And when they try to open it, it is stuck shut. Meanwhile, we see one of her friends has opened up a compact. And in the compact, a bee has appeared on the inside. She also sees something in the mirror and whips around, but there's nothing there. But she starts to say, guys. And then one by one, as they're all sort of like trying to open the door, they're sort of picked off from behind. And Trina's in the stall. She does look hungover, listens to her headphones, and slowly she starts to hear screaming. And as she takes off her headphones, she could hear the other girls being slaughtered. And she sees in the compact, which has fallen open on the floor, Candyman floating over one of the girls.
Like the mirror is showing her what's happening 10 feet away. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's still in the stall hiding on the toilet. And in the compact, we see what's happening, which is Candyman killing a bunch of kids. And the final girl screams as blood sprays everywhere. Meanwhile, back in the studio, Anthony wakes up on the ground and he has a mirror shards now stuck in his hand.
That's
his forehand.
If you break a mirror, you're also creating a dangerous situation.
Allison, he pulls them out, and while he's there, he notices his fingernails have started to detach. And
Go to a doctor.
He pulls one of them off. Finally, thank God he does. Because I was like, we got it.
Deal with it. You can't keep making your art if your whole arm falls off.
Yes, that's a great point. Fortunately, he is aware with all to finally go to the hospital, and he goes to the closest one. And when he waits, he sees a news report about a mass murder at Golan High School. And they say, after the killing, written on the mirror were the words, say my name, written in blood. So again, they're like, this is the second murder
with this,
that connects back to this piece of art. A doctor comes in and says, well, welcome back, Mr. McCoy. And Andy says, well, I've never been to this hospital in my life. And the doctor says, no, that can't be right. It says you were born here. You were born right here in Cabrini Green. Mm-hmm. Allison, I got to ask you, who will survive?
survive.
I sadly think that Anthony will be swept up into the Candyman lore.
Yeah, he belongs to the ages now. Yeah,
I think his girl, the names are all like really escaping me right now. I think his girlfriend will survive and have now the trauma of two men in her life who made art dying violently in front of her.
Yeah.
Who else is left?
We've got Troy and Grady. So Troy is Brianna's brother and Grady his boyfriend.
I think at least one of them will die, if not both.
And then we have William, the guy who runs the laundromat.
He will survive, and he will be able to continue telling the legends of Candyman.
Okay, great. That's pretty
much
all.
Yeah, that's all. That's really, yeah. Principles.
Yeah. Allison, Anthony finally goes to see the one character he's been dodging the whole movie, his mother. And when she opens the door, we realize that his mother is who from the original of Candyman, which means who is Anthony, Allison?
The baby?
He's the baby. His mother is Anne-Marie McCoy, played by the same actress,
that's a twist,
which I loved. Oh, I guess you're right. Damn it.
Well.
Well.
Here we are.
I guess in my mind, I don't know. You know what I was?
Or it's a reveal.
I think it's because it wasn't a twist to me because they say his full name, and I think I realized that it was her, because her last name was McCoy, and we had just done it. They're like, there was some reason that I was like, oh, it wasn't a twist. Sorry, everyone. There was a twist.
Okay.
However, he goes and tells her, you know, I heard a story about Candyman. And she immediately shushes him, says, do not say that here. He says, Mom, you told me I was born on the South Side, and now I'm finding out this hospital says I was born there. And she says, you grew up on the South Side, but your first 2 years of life, we lived in Cabrini Green. And he's like, why would you not fucking tell me that? And she says, I just want you to grow up happy and normal. And like all parents, for some reason, they think that means not giving you information about the world.
The amount of information my parents have withheld from me about our own lives is wild.
And to what end?
Just tell me.
Listen, they're lucky that neither of us are the Candyman
that
at this point.
That is very,
you know,
true.
I mean, but we are.
I don't know.
She reaches out to touch him, and we see that the decay has gone all the way up his hand, all the way up his arm, and is now creeping up onto his neck and his beautiful face.
Did they not treat it when he went to the hospital that he found out he was born in? Or did he leave after he got
Allison,
that information?
I think he might have an ailment that human medicine cannot treat. So his hand is bandaged up, but we now see it's all the way up on his face.
So someone at least looked at it.
Okay. Yes, yeah. But I think unfortunately it's escalating. Yeah. And he says, basically, could you just tell me? And she says, when you first got taken, I did think it was that woman. I thought it was Helen Lyle. I found her in her apartment. She's covered in blood. Everyone thought she was crazy. So I'm like, well, who else could it be? But it wasn't her. It was him. He had a purpose for you. He wanted you to burn in his fire, but she pulled you out and she gave you back to me. She saved you. And I thought it ended that night, and we vowed to never say his name again, but apparently someone has broken the pact.
Well, you can't. Okay.
I know.
I get it. Not a lot of parenting books cover what to do if your baby was wanted by Candyman.
What to do if Candyman.
What to do if Candyman. You know? What to expect when you're Candyman.
And he says, he found me. And she breaks down and says, I'm so sorry. And Anthony storms out while she begs him to stay. To be fair, I mean, like, again, like, your mom could have given you this information, but
I don't know.
She should have told him when she knew he was moving near Cabrini Green,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah. Once he was going back to that area, the odds of him, like, even though it's a legend, whatever, you just still should let him know so he doesn't, like, stumble into it the way he did.
Right, if he's moving to New Mexico,
sure,
maybe I see not telling
it.
Him. You moved right where it's happening. Allison, of course, he leaves and he goes to Cabrini Green. We see him walking down the row of apartment buildings, and we see two flashes of light, like two muffled gunshots in an apartment, and he goes inside. Meanwhile, Troy and Brianna are back in the apartment, so Brianna can get some clothes and things. And Brianna's like, we're here Anthony, I don't want to even see you. We don't want any trouble. But Anthony's not there. So now Brianna's panicking. She's like, well, where is he? You know, he's my person. I'm in charge of him. And she finds the laundromat pen, which has the name of the laundromat. And she's like, oh, right. He went to go talk to that weird guy at the laundromat. So she goes down there to try to talk to William. Like, have you seen him? I know you were talking about Candyman with him. She goes in the back room and she sees Anthony's knit cap on the desk. Mm. She's like, okay, so he's been here. And she opens the door in the back of the room and it goes, there's stairs down to the basement. And she looks there and she says, nope, and shuts the door. Which is also funny because it's Jordan Peele having co-written it. Yeah. I took it as like a nope, you know, a nod to the movie. She goes to leave the office only to find the door is locked behind her. And she bangs on it, but the actual laundromat is full of dryers and washers, so it's kind of noisy. Unfortunately, by the time somebody turns around to look, William has grabbed her from behind and dragged her away. We then flash back to William as a kid, Billy. And he's begging his sister to let him play Candyman with them. And his sister's like 13 with her girlfriend. Yeah. He's like, get out of the bathroom. This is not for kids. This is like a grown-up stuff. Shuts the door and he's sort of fuming, walking around the living room. And then hears some dude Candyman five times and go silent. And he pushes open the bathroom door only for it to hit something. His sister's dead body.
Oh.
And there's blood everywhere.
Oh, no.
And he looks up to see Sherman, who of course is already dead, holding his bloody hook to his mouth. And he says, shh.
So Sherman as Candyman.
Okay. Sherman as Candyman. So Sherman has died and passed and now into he the Candyman part of the, legend.
Part of the cabal of Candymen.
Yes. The Candymen, if you will. The Candymen. Fortunately, Allison, Brianna wakes up in the abandoned church in Cabrini Green. She is tied up to a pew. And we see written above the altar, sweets to the sweet. And William sees she's awake and says, now we have a witness. We also see that Anthony is there. He's facing away from her. Okay. He's in a chair facing, well, he's basically behind where the altar would be. And William makes a panicked phone call to 911. He says, oh my God, there's a black guy down here at Cabrini Green with a hook. He's acting crazy. I think he's killing people down here. He calls the police to come. And William is played by Colman Domingo, who absolutely fucking slaps.
Yeah.
He's so good in this.
What else is he in? We could look it up. It doesn't matter.
You know, I would say when I think of him, I think of the, Zola. Did you see that?
No.
Well, he was in that. Selma, Lincoln, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Oh, yeah, Ma Rainey. He's phenomenal. Thankfully, he gets a monologue. And he explains, you know, when something gets stained, you wash it. But the stain remains. It alters the fabric. And in Cabrini Green, the same spot got stained over and over and over again until the fabric gets rotted all the way through. And he sort of turns William around. And we see, do you by any chance have tryptophobia, where it's like being afraid of tiny little holes?
I don't, but I get how that could be. Like, when people tell me they have it, I'm like, understood.
We see that the entire half of William's body, including half of his face and his eye, which has turned milky white, is full of holes. Allison, it's turning into a honeycomb.
Ooh.
So he's filled with tiny holes.
Oh, that's so bad.
And William explains, we have to summon Candyman because he has to do something about it. Only this time he'll be killing their fathers, their babies, their sisters. He said, I knew the baby would come back here. And I knew that he could be a chance for Candyman to take back his legend. Meanwhile, Brianna has the laundromat pen and she has it out of her pocket. She's sort of like sawing through her ties. And as she watches and screams, William cuts off Anthony's hand with a hacksaw. While Anthony doesn't even react, he just sits blankly staring.
The bad hand?
He rams a hook. The bad hand.
Oh, maybe it's for the best.
He rams a hook into the stump. And he says, have you heard the legend of Anthony McCoy? An artist who died? The cops showed up and they gunned him down, no questions asked. If you say his name in the mirror, if you tell his story, then Candyman will live forever. So basically, William is intentionally putting Anthony in a legend because he believes because Anthony was the baby that Candyman will basically be able to be summoned into reality.
Yes. I guess.
So of course he puts, hey, worth a shot. William puts the Candyman coat on Anthony. And again, the physical transformation is complete and he does, Anthony looks terrifying. We hear in the distance, cop cars start to arrive. And William says, the swarm approaches. And he pulls out two suckers and he says, now it's time. Well, he takes out two suckers and he goes to offer it to Brianna. And then just as he turns, Brianna is out of her seat and running out of the church. And he says, where are you going? Where are you going? She runs into the basement and William chases her down into the darkness. And he's singing Sammy Davis Jr.'s Candyman. He grabs her then. And she's able to get out of a cellar door and sort of duck into one of the abandoned apartments. He follows her and he says, hey, this is as good a place as any, huh? And Brianna stabs William in the neck with the laundromat
pen.
Good
for her.
He drops to the ground and then she starts stabbing him over and over and over again until she hears in the doorway, I think he's dead. And it's Anthony. And he walks to her and he collapses into her arms and Brianna sobs as she holds her partner. And just then the cops arrive and she calls to them in the moment thinking maybe they could be here to help.
Yeah.
She says, in here, he needs a hospital. Allison, of course, the cops walk in and they immediately shoot Anthony where he lies. Brianna can't even react. And the rest of it sort of like cast in the blue light of the police cruisers. They take her, they handcuff her and they put her in the back of a cruiser. And one of the officers gets in and basically threatens her and says, it's really unfortunate what happened to your man in there. We actually got a tip. I don't know whether you know about that. He actually came at Officer Jones and Officer Jones, he saw the hook. So he saw that you were in danger and he had no option but to shoot him. And of course, Brianna's just shocked because that's not what happened. She's not saying anything. And the cop says, or I'm trying to remember what the story is. Or are you an accomplice? Did you help him kill all those people? What story is it?
Ugh.
You let me know. And Brianna's like, oh, you're making me choose to lie about how you murdered my lover. And so instead she says, could you let me see myself in the mirror? I'll tell you everything if you let me see myself. He says, no. She says, I'll say whatever you want if you just let me see myself in the mirror. And he does, and he tilts the rearview mirror down, obliging, and she, of course, says, Candyman, 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 Candyman. And the cop goes, what the fuck is that? And Allison, the door's locked. And as he watches, a bloody cop emerges from the apartment, and the other officer starts firing immediately, and we see Anthony, now as the Candyman, has returned.
And he's here.
And Anthony approaches the car and the cop says, who are you? And we get in Anthony's voice, sort of as we got from Tony Todd, the original, he says,
I am the writing on the walls. I am the sweet smell of blood on the street. The buzz that echoes in the alleyways.
They will say I shed innocent blood, but you are far from innocent, though they'll say you were. And as Brianna watches, a swarm of bees start to form around William's head. And the doors unlock, and William disappears. And the cop gets out and tries to run away. Brianna exits. Again, she's slower. She's still handcuffed. And we hear the cop screaming. And by the time she gets there, she finds Candyman is slaughtering the cop, slitting his throat with his hook. And Candyman's head is entirely bees.
No.
And he floats to Brianna. And when the bees disappear, we see his face. And it's Tony fucking Todd,
yeah.
The original fucking Candyman. William's questionable plan has succeeded. And I'm sure it's like a CGI'd version of him from the original movie. He's looking good as hell.
Good for him.
And he says in that velvet voice, he tells Brianna, tell everyone. And as more cop cars arrive, Brianna looks at him with a look of understanding. So I think the idea is like, she will. And then over the end credits, we see basically the story of William in Shadow Puppets. So, like, he has now passed into Candyman. We see him. He's the artist. We see his portraits and see how he is brought into the legend. The Candyman.
Wow.
2021. Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think were made in the movie Candyman?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, once the bee sting and the kind of necropathy of the arm and all, like, and then, like, after the first murder, I'd be like, you know what? This is not worth pursuing anymore, no matter how illuminating it is for my art. This is just not it.
Yeah, to me, it's the bees. Once the bees start showing up, you gotta
bail. Also, his mom not telling him he's the baby from the legend.
That was the fatal mistake.
That's the real fatal mistake.
Had she told him, as in so many horror movies, you have to, if your kids have some sort of link to a horror legacy where they may become or be killed by some sort of supernatural serial killer, you gotta let them know.
You do.
And then finally, where would you place Candyman 2021 on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think this is a 5 for me.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
All the legends and lore is really fun, and obviously, like, it's gory deaths. Like, slitting somebody's neck with a hook is scary. And also just, like, summoning anything. Like, I think the uncertainty of, like, is it going to come? Is it not going to come? Is a very, like, chilling kind of feeling to sit with. But not so scary. I don't think this was as scary as the original.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a hard bar to pass, for sure. Yeah, I'm going to say 5 too, because I really liked a lot of the moments. But it's more artful and interesting than genuinely scary.
That makes sense.
Though I will say, when her dad jumps out the window and I saw that initially, I'm like, ooh, that got me. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. And well, until next time.
Please, keep it spooky. Bye.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
Ashley's Memorial Day mattress sale is going on now. Save big on select adjustable mattress sets, up to $1,200 on Beautyrest Black, up to $800 on Purple, and up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic. Plus, get 72-month special financing with select in-store mattress purchases made with your Ashley Advantage Synchrony credit card between May 14th and June 3rd. Visit your local Ashley store or ashley.com for better sleep and savings. Only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. No minimum purchase required. See store for details.